We are back. It's the Language of Behavior podcast, and I'm here with the wonderful Charlie Peck, as she is just killing it and rocking and rolling on an online training. And so, Charlie, if you wouldn't mind sharing, you were with a bunch of different folks in Kentucky online about suicide.
Yeah, and actually differentiating. And hi, Josh. Hi. Hi, everybody. yeah. With GREC, which is the Green River Regional Education Cooperative, and they just service so many people across so many schools and districts across the state of Kentucky. But it was actually about non-suicidal self-injurious behavior, which is different than suicide. And a lot of people don't know the difference. And it shows up so much in our classrooms, so much in our schools. We're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, such an important topic, especially now in the winter, and feel some of those emotions of depression. And so I think this is very timely as far as the school year goes. And so you actually got a question from the training. And so I want to bring that up on a banner. And it's asking, how can we train teachers to deal with NSSI effectively? And that's what you were just talking through.
Yeah. And what I did in the training is I created this whole pipeline of that teacher to clinician, like, what is the protocol? What do we do there? And so I simplified it into AAA. And really the approach, the AAA approach, can be adaptable for any kind of ailment going on in mental health. So I want to keep it always simple, but it's about assessment. So how do you assess? What attitude do we need to show up with? And then what actions do we need to take? But what I loved about this was I was able to show what we can coach teachers to do, in addition to clinicians who don't really know how to deal with this and understand it. Like, we learn a lot about various behaviors when we're getting trained, but if you don't have experience with certain ones, like, I don't have a lot of experience with people who are experiencing substance abuse, a lot of use, but not abuse. And so that's not my area of specialty. So I typically refer out for that, but I know a lot about suicide and crisis and self-injurious behavior. So I was able to work with them on that. So anyway, I loved it because we could give them language and protocol. Yeah. And we can talk more about that. Like, what's your experience with that, Josh? I mean, in your role, you've saw that a lot, I'm sure, in the middle school.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we would uncover things, you know, like you said, self-harm was a big thing, kids cutting themselves or saying something that was kind of evidence, or writing something maybe in like an English class or an essay somewhere where there was something that was a red flag that was, okay, well, there might be something bigger here that we need to look into. And then we found out, you know, sometimes students had either thoughts or even plans of what they were going to do to themselves, which was heartbreaking. And of course, a lot of times teachers didn't know what to look for or didn't know what to do once they found some of those types of things. And so you talk about the three A's. I'd love, Charlie, for you to expand on at least the first one, which is the assessment piece. So when you're doing the training, what are teachers looking for when there might be something that they don't know if it's a red flag or not?
Yeah. So oftentimes it shows up with certain age groups. It's different. Like in the younger kids, it happens all the time too. They might bite themselves, bang their head, scratching themselves, picking at their skin. And so, I mean, this can happen through all age groups, pulling their hair out. I see that a lot with the younger ones. And it's because they're just so darn frustrated. Their nervous systems, we talk about the nervous system all the time, but their nervous system is just overflowing with overwhelm. They just can't stand their environment. They can't stand the pressure. I mean, there's a lot going on. And so it's an escape for a lot of these kids who bite, scratch, pick. The older kids, they will actually cut themselves. A lot of times on the inner thigh, they'll be on the inner arm. Sometimes on the forearm, you'll see that. Sometimes girls on their breasts area, they will, because you can cover that up. So that's what they can see. Now, oftentimes it'll be different. Like if you're a teacher and it's hot, I mean, we're talking August and it's hot, and a kid comes in and they're wearing long sleeves, or a kid comes in and they usually wear short sleeves, but they start wearing long sleeves. Those kind of things, like, those are behavior changes that we need to look at. Sometimes what will happen, one of my examples was, a kid's doing their work and you walk by and their forearm is exposed, like their sleeve slipped down, and the teacher saw some cuts on there, and the teacher's like, and this really actually did happen, the teacher's like, are you okay? And the kid's like, oh, I'm fine. It's nothing. Well, it's something. It's something. And so, like, that's the point where we don't investigate. This is the key part. We're not investigators. Teachers are not investigators. Mental health professionals are, to a point. But really, it's about regulating that behavior. So if you do see something like that, and if there's a pattern change, sometimes it'll be in gym class where the kid refuses to change their clothes or wear shorts when most of the times they would have. Like, those are the kinds of things that there's a shift in a pattern. Or sometimes they're in a class and they'll go to the bathroom more often that week and they seem off. And then you saw this, the cuts or scratches. And you can say, are you okay? The language that we're supposed to use is very neutral and boring, very boring, consistent, neutral, because oftentimes what happens, Josh, is that teachers will feel shocked and it'll show. So even when they try to contain it, your nervous system can't lie about that stuff. It overreacts. So if we get used to understanding what this looks like, what this actually is, it's not always suicide. Oftentimes it's not suicide at all. We do need to assess risk, especially in the school system. There's policy around that. So we need to follow those protocols. But oftentimes they're seeing something, there is a concern, but if they don't know what to do, guess what they're going to do? Nothing. So give them something to do. So give them the language first, which is something we talked about. So that's the assessment. And then the next piece is the attitude, how to show up. Don't be shocking. Don't give promises like you're not going to tell anyone because you're going to, but don't say this. Don't say, oh my gosh, if you do this, I have to call home. Oh my gosh. So one of the worst things you can do or say, right?
Right.
You tell me, what would be so scary about saying that to a kid?
Going to get me in trouble is typically what the response of a child is. And so of course they're going to try and hide it even more so, or say, oh, I won't do it, and give the response that the teacher wants. So yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And they might be compliant because they don't want to be in trouble, or they know that, like, if the teacher freaks out a little bit, because that does happen, then they're like, oh my gosh, then they're shame. They go right back into shame. Like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me as a human? We don't want to go there. If the stress is coming from home, oftentimes it is. The worst thing you can say is, oh, I'm going to call right now because you're in trouble, and I'm going to tell your mom or dad or caregiver. And it's not that they don't need to be looped in, because if there's harm, we do need to address that with the caregiver. But also we need to let that mental health professional figure out what's the function of that behavior, what's the need that's not being met. And let's start there. So the assessment of the teacher is very brief. Then it goes to putting in a referral in. So you have to give them an easy way to put that referral in. So I created a form and also a printable version, because we want both. We want teachers to have that accessibility or they won't do it. I don't blame them. They'll just be overwhelmed, or they just will avoid it. They don't know what to do. So if you give it to them, they will. And then so that action piece is differentiated for what teachers to do versus clinicians. Yeah.
All right. And then the last A is action. And you talked a little bit about that, but let's say, and I saw this firsthand as an art teacher, like, there were some concerning drawings that were on maybe their binder or their folder or whatnot, or I even caught a kid stealing an X-Acto knife. And it turned out that that was something that, like you said, they were going to go to the bathroom to cut themselves. And mm-hmm. So, you know, once you start to uncover some of these things, and we just talked about the attitude of, you know, trying to make sure that you're not freaking out or threatening the child, you know, what is the next step after that for the third A, which is action?
Yeah. So what they need to say, the language is very important here. Once they notice that, they say something like, I noticed you seemed upset today. I'm going to share some information with you so that we can get you support. Or I'm going to share what my next steps are with you to help you get support. Very simple, but also, like, again, not promising secrecy there. So you're going to have to say something like, I can't keep safety concerns secret. My job is to help you follow through to the next step so you can get the support you need. But the first thing I would say as a teacher is, thank you for sharing this with me. If they do disclose to you, if they do say, yes, I am doing this, the very first thing you do is thank them. Just let them know you're going to get support. Not that you're in trouble. Not that there's anything wrong with you. I mean, the brain experiences physical and emotional pain the same. It shows up in the brain the same. And so it's just a release for these kids when they don't know what else to do. So the fact that they told the teacher is huge. If they just notice it, then you put a referral in. And this is so key, Josh. This is what teachers need to understand. And also a lot of clinicians need to know this too, but teachers, only give information that you can see and hear. No opinions, no assumptions. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? And tell what the student is saying. Give the verbatim information as much as you can. Let the people who deal with these mental health problems, could be severe, could not be a big deal. For them it is, but the way that we have to talk about it and report it is just very neutral and observable behaviors. just observable. What'd you see? What'd you hear?
Love it. All right. I think that's probably a good stopping point for the conversation. I'd love to jump into behind the banter before we close things out.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this is a simple one for you, Charlie. What is your favorite comfort food?
Pizza. My favorite. Easy. Pizza.
You said that very quickly.
I did. I love it. I love it. Most pizzas I can eat. What about you? I can't wait to hear yours, actually.
Apple pie was just a side of some ice cream.
Really?
Yeah.
That's neat. Apple pie.
So for my birthday growing up, I never did cake. It was always apple pie.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. I love that. I didn't know that about you, but now I do. I love it.
I have a sweet tooth. It's quite ridiculous. So I'm willing to share that with everyone. I always have usually something on the side there, or at least some dessert. I know for my kids too, it's a good motivator to get them to eat their dinner. So it's nice to have a little ice cream in the house.
Absolutely. My husband loves ice cream too. Loves it. Yeah. And you can throw a few gummy bears on the side for me too. I like that too.
You and your gummy bears. All right. So let's dive into what's coming up. So I know, Charlie, we're meeting with a bunch of folks lately in regards to keynotes. And so do you just want to share out, you know, what is the most popular 2026 keynote for you and what are folks bringing you in for?
Oh my goodness. It's thriving under pressure. There's so much going on with people feeling overwhelmed. And this is school leaders. Usually I work with school leaders and of course, educators. And it's to give them tangible strategies so that they can manage that high demand profession. They can do it. So I'm excited to be doing that work. And then usually they follow up with some kind of training, like the one-off sessions I did on NSSI or a cohort training. Yeah, excited. I will say this too. I think this is important because a lot of people ask me this. I'm working a lot with mental health teams on the new curriculum that I put out. So if people are looking for curriculum for those skill building groups, just go to my website, thrivingeducator.org, because along with the keynote, I can then give them that extension after the keynote to take back to your schools. Yeah. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, I'm working with a lot of special ed departments and organizations. So I'm super excited for 2026 in that regards and doing a lot with two things. Obviously, our work with language and behavior, where we're talking about, you know, the struggles that teachers and schools are having with, you know, behavioral challenges and typically traditional discipline that really doesn't work. And so trying to give them some strategies, some evidence-based things that we've talked about in our book all the time. So love doing that work, of course. And then the second one is enhancing your capacity with healthy habits. And very similar to you, Charlie, right? What are we seeing? We're seeing educational leaders and educators that are just crazy stressed. And so they're looking for ways to, you know, not be burnt out. They're looking for support. They're also looking for practical strategies to help them in their everyday life, both personally and professionally. And we both know that those two things bleed into each other consistently. So just giving them a framework to help them create some really good boundaries so that way they're the best version, both at home and at the school. So
I love that you address both and with habits because that's how change happens. So I just love it.
Yeah. I mean, especially right now, right? We're talking about New Year's resolutions and we've seen the data of like, what happens with that? It falls off pretty quickly. I think the average is 7 to 14 days before that goes away. And it's because of the habits that we don't have established. So just going through, you know, how to make it easy on yourself to start to build those. And can't wait for this upcoming year as we're both traveling all over the country to help support educators.
Me too. Me too.
Awesome. All right, Charlie, if they're interested in bringing you in for a keynote, how would they do that?
Yep. Just go to thrivingeducator.org. Everything is there. Anything you need.
Awesome. I'm going to put the banner up for everyone that's watching on YouTube. And then, of course, we'll have our links in the show notes. Of course, joshstamper.com for myself. If you're looking more on the language of behavior, if you look for the book, the study guide, all that kind of stuff, you can go to Language of Behavior. We have so much information and resources there for you. And both of our websites have a ton of freebies, a newsletter. So check that out if you want more information about the work that we're doing. And then with that, Charlie, is there any last words you have for our conversation today?
Yes. When you are a clinician, mental health professional, or on the mental health team at school, and you're sending a student back to the class after they've disclosed and you've worked with them with the non-suicidal self-injury, make sure the teacher knows to just go back as normal. Don't surveil them. Don't do extra check-ins. Just go back. You can be warm, but don't don't make them stand out. That's really important.
If you have any questions for us, for the podcast, we have a bit.ly in the show notes. We'd love for you to check that out, put in the question, and we will bring it up in the future episodes. With that, we hope they have a wonderful week. And if we can support you in any way, please let us know.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and a podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.